Timothy Ray Brown grew up in Seattle, but in 1995 he was living in Europe, and a friend of his convinced him he should get an HIV test. So he did, and he was positive. At that time, those test results meant only one thing.
If you got HIV, you knew you were going to die. The friend of mine that told me I should get tested said, you know, we've only got about 2 more years to live. And in fact, a lot of people cashed in their life insurance policies.
But soon, new treatments for HIV hit the market. And as with so many people with the virus, HIV became something he could live with. Incurable, but manageable. Well, I'm Gabriel Spitzer. It's Sound Effect on KPLU. And to get at what makes Timothy Ray Brown unusual, you have to fast forward about a decade. Timothy was working as a translator in Germany, and one day he went to ride his bike to lunch.
So I was riding my bike there, and got halfway to the restaurant, I had to stop because I didn't have energy. And I called my partner. I said, I need to see a doctor.
That doctor told him he had acute myeloid leukemia and aggressive blood cancer. And once again, Brown was confronted with a bleak diagnosis.
So that was my second death sentence.
But Timothy's oncologist was no ordinary doctor, and Dr. Gero Hütter had an idea.
Something called a CCR5 delta 32 deletion. It's a mutation which makes the person carrying it almost immune to HIV. So he said, I think that maybe I could not only get rid of your leukemia, I could also maybe get rid of your HIV.
Brown went for it, though at times he must have wished he hadn't, because what followed was intense chemotherapy to purposefully destroy his immune system, and then an infusion of bone marrow cells with that key mutation, then radiation, followed by something called graft versus host disease, which forced him to do the whole damn thing over again and get another transplant. It nearly killed him more than once. But at the end, he was cancer-free, and his blood showed no signs of HIV. But HIV is one of the sneakiest of viruses. It can hide in ordinary cells all over the body. So before they could pronounce Brown cured, they needed to do some brutal detective work.
They did quite a few biopsies. They did a biopsy on my brain. Colonoscopies, a very invasive colonoscopy, which where they went into my gut. They also took out a lymph node out of my groin. They didn't find any HIV in my body.
The virus was gone. Timothy Ray Brown had become the first person in the world cured of this incurable disease. And with the achievement of this once impossible dream, it seemed like maybe we finally had this scourge of AIDS on the run. Well, that was about 8 years ago, and now Timothy Ray Brown is still the only one ever cured, the one member of a very lonely club.
Unfortunately, there haven't been any that have actually taken, and I'd really like there to be, and so it's a very, very small club, and I'd like to have more people in my club.
Today on Sound Effect, exceptions to the rule. We'll talk about what it feels like to be an outlier, as a frightened patient, or an athlete, or a champion of the undergoat. It's all ahead on Sound Effect from KPLU. Don't go away. So now we're going to talk about what you make of a case like Timothy's. Keith Jerome is a virologist at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center in the University of Washington, and he's trying to translate Timothy's success into a broader cure. For a scientist like Jerome, this kind of exception to the rule is really exciting, but also really frustrating. You know, medicine depends on reproducibility, on integrating an exception like Timothy's into the rule itself. Well, I met him in his office overlooking Lake Union in Seattle, and Keith Jerome explained to me how he first learned of Timothy's case.
I remember seeing the New York Times article, actually, and I know that there's actually some interesting stories behind that because it really initially didn't get a lot of play in the scientific literature. It was this odd case, and I think nobody knew what to make of it, and it really took a little bit of thought from people who were maybe outside of the medical field itself to say, wow, this seems like something that's really cool and potentially important. there got to be a lot of excitement really quickly. I mean, you didn't have to explain twice to people that if there was someone, anyone who was cured of HIV, this was a big deal.
Did you believe it right away?
As scientists, we're trained to be skeptical. You're particularly trained to be skeptical of dramatic claims. So a cure of HIV is certainly a dramatic claim. On the other hand, this was a reputable institution, a reputable bunch of physicians. And subsequently, Timothy Brown has been studied by the top laboratories in the world. And the consensus of everybody who's looked is he's cured of HIV.
So I think to a layperson, it seems like this has been the holy grail, a cure for HIV, and now someone has been cured. So are we done? You know, it sort of seems like that's it. You have found the pot of gold. How would you contextualize that?
Well, the context of that's really easy. The goal here isn't to have a scientist be able to stand up and say, look at me, I cured someone of HIV. The goal is to cure everyone of HIV. We're not done until this virus is no longer on the radar screen of humanity.
So what are some of the reasons that Timothy's case so far is still a single case and hasn't been replicated?
This is an extreme case, something that we so desperately want that then we're teased with because it happens once, and then as a field we can't make it happen again. First of all, what Timothy had that cured him was a bone marrow transplant, essentially, and we really only do that for life-threatening illnesses like cancer. This is an incredibly toxic process that he had to go through. It was not easy, and he will tell you how difficult this was. It's certainly been tried to do this, but you can only try this in folks who have HIV and an HIV-associated malignancy, and that's a subset of people. Most people, particularly in our part of the world who have HIV, do well with it. We can get people on suppressive therapy, and they live very healthy lives with HIV. It's not true in other parts of the world necessarily where they don't have access to drug. So there's a limited subset of people who you would ever dream of trying this. You have to have an AIDS-associated cancer. Then even among those people, there's the genetic challenges to find the right matched donor who could provide cells to that person. And then they have to have this very special magic gene deletion that basically disrupts the door that HIV would use to get into new cells. So if all those things line up, then you can try this. And even in that situation, you're talking about incredibly sick people who have a bad virus and then have cancer on top of it. And, unfortunately, those people have a lot of cards stacked against them, and we as a field have not had the success to be able to reproduce Timothy's experience.
And when you say that, I mean, it has been tried in individuals. What's happened to them?
To the best of my knowledge, all the patients who've had bone marrow transplants with this kind of donor with this right deletion have ultimately died of their cancer.
So what's the value of a case like this, given that it's so difficult to reproduce?
I think it's incredibly valuable. It's valuable, first of all, just because it reminds workers in the field, the scientists and the doctors, that cure is possible. Here is a real person who's been cured. And the field has changed dramatically. Only a few years ago, it was a little bit outside the mainstream to even be proposing to do scientific research on cure. I mean, people will still take you seriously as a scientist, but it would have been perceived as a bit odd.
Because that just seemed out of the realm of possibility. People were working on how to manage it or how to reduce the symptoms, right?
Yeah, I think that people would say, sure, it would be great to have a cure, but it's impossible, or it's so far off in the future that you're wasting your time. You should be working on something where you have a chance of success. But once you can point to someone who has been cured, suddenly it's much less abstract. And we say, okay, if it's possible, I'm really working on trying to bring this to tens of patients or hundreds or millions. And it's harder to argue against that. And the other thing that this has really done is not about the physicians and the scientists, but it's about the community, and it's about people who've been affected by HIV in so many ways. we've done community events where we've introduced our science and what we're trying to achieve and just educational things, where Timothy's been our headline draw. And it was one of the most dramatic and emotional experiences in my life. I got to introduce Timothy, and the way that he was bringing hope, tangible hope, to people who've been affected by this virus was just incredibly moving. And I think that as much as we as scientists and physicians get motivated by this, I think really as people we all get motivated by this, that this incredibly dramatic scourge, this HIV that we've dealt with for decades now, maybe we can see the end. And that's what Timothy represents, the potential end of this virus.
Well, Keith Jerome of the University of Washington and Fred Hutch, thanks so much.
All right. It's my pleasure.